All right, let's see what John had to say about the debate.
From
I like John Stewart.
The most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, an actually live special report, The Daily Show presents Indecision Show.
It seems like this presidential race is going to be a tight one.
The election now a dead heat.
Separated by razor-thin margins.
Neck and neck.
Feels like a jump ball race right now.
For all intents and purposes, horseshoes and hand grenades, it's a coin flip.
The tightest race horseshoes in a generation.
As tight as it can get.
As tight as a tick.
As tight as a too tight bathing suit and a too long car ride home.
What happens if you feel what? Please tell me you had that one on the draw. I hope that's just not a thing that pops into your brain randomly.
From the beach.
That seems very tight. Oh, it's as tight as a teenage boy's pants during a Sydney Sweeney Film Festival. It's tighter than Sydney Sweeney's scheduling windows, given how busy she is with projects and in demand as a producer, to say nothing of the... Anyway, she's very talented. Of course, with an election this tight, it is important to build out a more diverse coalition. And recently, Donald Trump has picked up the unexpected support of former Democrats RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard. And Mike.
Oh, this one's extra funny because remember when they were talking about how Tulsi was going to be the secret weapon and Tulsi destroyed Kamala in the previous debate? So, like, honestly, all they need to do now is for this debate, just get Tulsi to prep Trump. And if she does that, they work hard. It seems he had other plans. Yes, plans involving dog food. I'm not talking about RFK Jr. I know when I say dog food, most people think RFK Jr. No, I'm talking about Laura Loomer. That was a surprise that Laura Loomer just like got off, you know, the private jet with Trump. And I guess she had been advising him along the way. And y'all got loomered again, Republicans.
Even have picked up one of Jeffrey Epstein's most esteemed former lawyers.
I am no longer a Democrat. I am no longer a member of the Democrat.
See, the proper response to stuff like this is awesome. It's not, hey, by the way, Dick Cheney, for the first time, is going to be voting Democrat. Oh, what? The Dick Cheney? No way. Let's just kind of ignore his history and just get right into, what does that tell you? Huh? Big tent coalition. No, fuck that guy. You can very easily have someone say, hey, by the way, Dick Cheney has said that they're going to be endorsing the political party that you're running for because of how bad Trump is. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, without saying too much about what that says about Trump, I do want to say that there's nothing that I have to say about Cheney except he should spend his remaining days in jail for war crimes. Yeah, crimes against humanity is what that man should be doing. But yeah, I'm not going to be able to decide who he does or does not vote for. I can't even decide whether or not he spends a day in a jail cell. So yeah, that's all there is to say to it. Fuck him.
Party. This was not my party. I just felt appalled when I watched the Democratic National Convention. I can't associate myself with the party itself.
No, wait. Don't go.
Hi, Epstein's lawyer.
The Democratic Party, Alan Dershowitz? Well, guess what? Democrats don't want you anyway, because the Democratic Party has standards, okay? We don't
Last week, former Vice President Dick Cheney endorsed Vice President Harris.
Okay, so as you can probably tell, I haven't seen this yet. A lot of people are like, Lance, you pre-watch these. That's how you always guess what these right-wingers are about to say. No, they're just very predictable. And they all say the same thing on the same day. It's as if, like, it's really funny they love the NPC meme because they're all such NPCs. It's just like every day they wake up and they pull out and dust off whatever email comes in from the Koch brothers or Dennis Prager or Russia. And then they pull that little chip out and it's like, what am I annoyed at today? Trans women in sports. Got it. All right, we're going to do that one. And it's like, oh, no, we're changing it up today. Oh, what? Sorry, I'll take that one out. What are we up today? Ukraine is the greatest enemy of the United States. Cool. Yeah, no, I got that one in there. Yeah, okay, so Ukraine is the greatest enemy of the United States. It's just like that. They're always just all insane. Like, if you were a right-winger and you actually cared about reality, facts, 2 + 2 = 4, that kind of stuff, right? If everyone around you was like, Haitians eat dogs and cats and they're stealing them from Springfield, Ohio, white people homes, you might be like, okay, well, I'm willing to talk about that. I'm going to be on board, but I just wanted one quick little search. Just want to look up if any of it is based in reality or if all of us are just being extremely racist. It would look bad if we're all just being extremely racist and running down this pathway of a super racist conspiracy theory, especially because this, like, the only real evidence we have is that one photo of a black guy holding a goose, and now as more information is coming out, it's turning out that he might not even be Haitian. But then there's that other story of a woman who did eat a cat. Turns out she wasn't Haitian at all, though. She was an American citizen, so that one doesn't really connect. And it does turn out, like, all the locals of Springfield, Ohio keep talking about how this has actually revitalized their entire economy, having a large influx of Haitian immigrants, and that the factory owners where they all work sing their praises, say they're incredible employees. Yeah, it would look really profoundly fucked up if we just went with it, you know? But I'm not going to hit enter. I'm just going to go with the story, because I got my neat little chip, and it tells me to be mad about Haitian immigrants. Wilco, good to see you.
Would you excuse me one second?
Yes, that is the appropriate response when someone tells you, war criminal, Dick Cheney, is endorsing you. It's not a good thing. It's not a thing you celebrate. It's not a thing where you start posting memes that has Dick Cheney and AOC in it and being like, wow, the tent is really big now. We got room for war criminals. Isn't that cool? War criminals.
I don't know what came over me. Anyway, going into the debate, one thing was clear. I'm sorry, you know what? Dick Cheney, can you meet me over by camera one? Fuck off. Seriously.
Hey, Rachel Maddow, MSNBC. This guy's a comedian. He makes jokes for the Laffy Laugh on Comedy Central. I know it's not a cover. He still will have to stand behind his beliefs and what the jokes are about. But still, why is it that a comedian is doing what you're supposed to do as a journalist? That's the only appropriate response to Dick Cheney anything. Fuck you. Fuck you, Dick Cheney. I hope you spend your remaining days in constant torture and being haunted by dead Iraqi children. That is like, honestly, the what you deserve. If not, you should spend every remaining moment of your life in jail, right? Like, that's how you respond to someone being like, oh, wow, Dick Cheney, he wants to endorse your party. Dick Cheney wants to endorse you. Dick Cheney wants to endorse your candidate. He's not a good man. Dick Cheney was so unabashedly evil, so profoundly fucked up. Like, he was unapologetic the entire time they were committing all these vile atrocities. Like, by comparison, it made George Bush, who's also a war criminal, seem like a goofy, coked-out cowboy. Everyone's like, yeah, he's silly. He says silly things. He doesn't say sentences totally right. Could be the coke. Could just be the fact that he is, again, profoundly an evil human. But yeah, he appears a little bit silly in juxtaposition from Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, all of these fucking, again, unabashed war criminals. Like, they're not the kind of people you should be like, you know what? Enough time has passed. You know, how long is it supposed to be? What did South Park say? 20 years after a tragic event, it's allowed to be funny. So, I mean, yeah, I think we're far enough away. Ellen's already embraced George Bush. Why can't everyone else do it? Ellen did it. And, you know, she's like, I just like people who are nice.
Fuck off. You came this close to destroying the entire world. We were this close, closer than a teenage boy's pants. And no, I'm not going to have any fun with this. And by the way, who in God's name is that endorsement going to sway? Well, I like the Democrats' policy on child tax credits, but are they bombing enough Middle Eastern countries?
You never know. Undecided voters are a weird, perverted bunch. I'm not really sure what you're undecided about. What, like, there's usually such a strong contrast sometimes, you know, where it's just like, yeah, so Donald Trump, the guy who tried to upend democracy, career criminal, accused of rape and sexual assault by over 20 women who lied about the election being stolen, who tried to overturn the election and then tried to instigate a coup. That guy. Yeah, that's the candidate on that side. I was thinking about it. But then I saw that Dick Cheney, noted war criminal, suddenly decided that he wants to go for Kamala Harris. Well, as an undecided voter, I don't know. This speaks to me.
There's still some buildings standing. Someone should really do something.
Bay Photo, thank you so much. It's a big tent party, and the tent was made by Raytheon. That's a joke, but it's sad but true. You know, the whole Juniper, the America's like 14 corporations in a trench coat. Does seem like both parties really do serve the military-industrial complex. There's one sure thing to put your money into and to put your stock and your investments into. It's the military-industrial complex. It's going to make and produce a lot of material that'll be used for human suffering.
Both candidates have now entered the arena. Biden and Trump did not greet each other. And Kamala, oh, wait, she went for the handshake, ladies and gentlemen. What an incredible display of the awkward tension that happens when your son is dating a biracial girl and you meet her parents for the first time. Do I?
See, at first I didn't know where he was going with that joke. Now I get it.
Konnichiwa! As per tradition in American politics, the first question is always asked by the most handsome person in a 10 to 15 mile radius.
When it comes to the economy, do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
Ooh, first, yowza. Oh, yeah.
Prisons and jails, from mental institutions and insane asylums. They're dangerous. They're at the highest level of criminality. They are taking over the towns. They're taking over buildings. They're going in violently.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say, after surviving the PTSD of the last presidential debate, how unbelievably refreshing it is to go back to the same old, nobody's going to answer any fucking questions. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, to be fair, that was Kamala from the very start, too. Like, the very first question was kind of like, so what are your economic plans? And then, you know, she did a long song and dance about how, you know, we want to support the middle class. We have a working families, you know, plan, blah, blah, blah. But then when pressed on specifics, like, oh, we need to start knowing actual policies, she then started answering the question directly, which is nice. You know, like, we have a $6,000 child tax credit, you know, which is very significant, something that you should certainly be making a cornerstone of your campaign if it's something you're going to be following through on.
We're back! America is back! Yeah! You ask them a question, they just turn the tide and answer whatever they want to answer. And now that we're returning to the cliches, the standards of American political theater, I think it's only fair if someone would do the honors of the first baseless ad hominem.
She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well. But when you look at what she's done to our country...
Oh, shit.
Again, like, yeah, I wish. According to Trump, Kamala Harris is a Marxist who's going to abolish Israel. That's the pitch that Trump is making.
She's about to be like, motherfucker, let's just do this. I'm gonna... Boom, boom. She's about to... A Marxist, she's about to open up a can of ass capital on Donald Trump. Lindsay Davis, you better change the subject before the fingers on Kamala's hand unite.
I want to turn to the issue of abortion.
Oh, boy. I'm not superstitious, but this is where the wheels fell off for Biden. He was asked about abortion, and he somehow spun it into, why are immigrants raping people?
Yeah, I remember that. Because everyone was just so shocked that the Democrats tried to hide the current mental state of Joe Biden. And when he was up there, we were like, oh no, this is so much profoundly worse than anyone could have expected. But then, of course, it got to the topic of abortion. And we're like, well, this is where he's going to excel. It's very clear that there is a very, very demonstrable difference between the two parties on this issue. You know, here you go. It's your opportunity. This is what we call the silver platter. Go nuts. And somehow managed to turn that question into a discussion about immigrant rapists. Which I don't know. I think, like, because again, he's such a profound racist that maybe his brain is just reverting into like a lot of the old 1994 Joe Biden crime bill kind of style stuff where he's just like super predators, immigrants coming over here to rape white women and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of like the default mode, maybe. I don't know why anyone would ever do that. When, again, this is something that you, both polling-wise and, like, you know, we can look at the data, you are stronger than Donald Trump on this issue with a lot of Americans who do not want, like, the majority of Americans don't want women's reproductive health to simply just be completely removed, right? Like, that's not, it's not a popular policy. It has to be phrased or worded in such a way that people start to talk about the sanctity of life and all that kind of shit. Jimmy Val, thanks for giving the tier one sub to the daughter Tiana at 420. I appreciate it.
And he ended with a classic phrase we'll never forget, and that's when we finally beat Medicare. They're feeling it too, ladies and gentlemen. As before, President Trump, you have the first crack at answering why you killed Roe v. Wade.
We've gotten what everybody wanted, Democrats, Republicans, and everybody else, and every legal scholar wanted it to be brought back into the states, and the states are voting. And I did something that nobody thought was possible.
John Stewart from the I Was Watching This Live Times Picayune. What you just said, yeah, that's actually insanely false. The majority of people wanted it. You know what? Kamala Harris, can you address this with a bit more eloquence?
I think it was Hillary Clinton that said the shit about super predators. Unfortunately, as per my recollection, it was both. Hold on. Biden, in 1993 speech pushing crime bill, warned of predators on our streets who were beyond the pale. Joe Biden, in a 1993 speech, warned of predators on our streets who were beyond the pale and said they must be cordoned off from the rest of society because the justice system did not know how to rehabilitate them. Biden, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, made the comments on the Senate floor a day before the vote was scheduled on the Senate's version of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act. His central role in shaping and shepherding the tough-on-crime bill will likely face scrutiny in a Democratic primary should he run for president in 2020. His 1993 comments, which were in line with the broad political consensus to tackling crime at the time, are at odds with a new bipartisan coalition of activists and lawmakers who are trying to undo what they say is a legacy of mass incarceration fostered in that
era. Clean
up
your room.
Brando,
I have talked with women around our country. You want to talk about this is what people wanted? Pregnant women who want to carry a pregnancy to term, suffering from a miscarriage, being denied care in an emergency room because the healthcare providers are afraid they might go to jail, and she's bleeding out in a car in the parking lot? She didn't want that?
Yeah, I know. I had to say, yes, I had the exact same feeling. And, like, I kind of knew she would. And it was also one of those things where, like, this is what the moment calls for. And it is just one of those things where if it is deeply held within your own beliefs and you are so, like, disgusted by these right-wing, weird-ass old men who want to, like, control and police women's bodies and have never stopped wanting to do that, like, to finally hear someone say to Donald Trump's face that was concise, eloquent, but serious and to the point like that, that was, in my opinion, the best part of the entire debate, was the entire section on abortion. It was from start to finish. She knew exactly how to address that issue. And that's why it's just, like, it's so profoundly sad to hear so many other parts of this just be about, let's strike up more fears about an incoming potential war, either a technological war or an AI war with China. Let's talk about how fracking is so necessary and how we need to do fracking to be able to maintain, American independence on energy. Let's talk about how America has to have the most lethal army in the world, like that kind of shit. It's like as soon as you get into geopolitics, there's just not a good option, right? It's just like still more American saber-rattling imperialism, jingoism, that very idea of like how American must maintain the global order and then we are the beacon of democracy, when it's like you are one of the most destructive forces on the global stage that is constantly upending democracy. I mean, countries can have democratic elections and then all of a sudden you'll try to instigate a coup or just isolate them or put sanctions on them until the point where they're not economically viable, so you can point towards, I told you, socialism doesn't work. I told you communism doesn't work. Look at Venezuela. They literally have to eat rats to survive. Look at them. They're completely falling apart. It's 100% because socialism, and every single time a socialism happens, they collapse. Look at Cuba. Cuba, it's a complete hellhole. Why? Because socialism. And it's like, there's certainly things you can say because Cuba is, yes, so heavily sanctioned that they've had a lot of trouble, both receiving a lot of international kind of supplies and stuff like that. that, because you have a choice between either doing business with Cuba or doing business with the United States. No country in their right mind is going to choose and turn down the world's largest economy in order to do business with, so they'll isolate Cuba in exchange, that kind of stuff. They've still managed to have an incredibly robust medical system. They've still been able to have a public healthcare system in which people, even the poorest Cubans, can have access to healthcare and surgeries and doctors and stuff like that. Not the same thing you can say for all Americans. Is it a utopia? No. Is it impoverished? Yes. But it's like, why not just allow countries to try and thrive on their own without having to make examples of them all the time, you know?
Crush that. This is like, what? This is like one of those Groundhog Day movies where you get to go back and fix the bad way that something happened earlier to the good way. And then you learn Italian and the piano, and then you get sad and then despondent, and then you learn how to love yourself. Anyway, Trump will now finally have to answer to his abortion policy.
You know what it reminds me of? When they said they're going to get student loans terminated, and it ended up being a total catastrophe.
Ah, you don't have an answer.
Well, of course not. And that's the reason, like, so here's a great lesson to the Democrats. One of the reasons why you've had a lot of success in this arena is because you've actually listened to a lot more of the progressives on your side of the party who've been trying to tell you for a very long time, hey, progressive policies, it turns out a lot of them are overwhelmingly popular in the good old US of A. A lot of people, when the questions are not worded in such a way in that, like, would you like America to become a communist hellscape? Well, what's the answer going to be to that? It turns out 99% of Americans said no. Ah, well, I mean, that answers it for you, right? It's like, do you think that people who work in companies for an X amount of time should start to have ownership in those companies so that they can then be working towards producing something where they have skin in the game? And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that sounds fair. That sounds good. Okay, well, we're getting a little closer to the means of production there. Do you think the government should be able to force women to give birth against their will? Force them? Yeah, force them. Like, they have no choice. They have to give birth, even if it could kill them. But they have to give birth, no matter what, says the government. They can't receive any kind of medical care to try and do anything about that. Oh, yeah, that sounds intense. I guess not, because that feels a little icky. Like, is the government just, like, putting women into birthing rooms or something? Like, what does that mean? I'm not going to get into the details, but just, do you think the government should have the right to force women against their will to have to give birth? I guess not. No, I don't think the government should do that. I don't think the government should be stepping in and then making decisions for women's healthcare in that way. And then it's like, okay, well, then once again, if it's phrased in a certain way, and when it comes to this issue and it comes to other issues, Donald Trump has had to play defense now. He's had to go, and when people ask him questions, he's had to revert to, oh, well, I'm trying to do what Reagan wanted, states' rights. This is what everyone wants, okay? Look, everyone hated Roe. Everybody. Not a true. That's a lie. But anyways, everyone hated Roe. We wanted to get rid of it, so we got rid of it. I did the thing no one said was possible, and now it's going to go down to states' rights, just as it should be, and everyone gets to decide on their own, and that's how it's just going to go, right? So he's now having to backpedal a little bit from, you know, the initial kind of, like, we want to do a total federal abortion ban. J.D. Vance wants to monitor your menstrual cycles. J.D. Vance wants to implement his new J.D. Vance tracking app in which you can actually see every single woman in America's menstrual cycles, stuff like that. Like, you gotta now play defensively, because clearly when pushed on this issue, they look really, really weak. So maybe you shouldn't try out flanking Republicans on issues from the right, such as immigration, such as the border, these kind of things. The base of the Republicans are so terrified of immigrants because they're so xenophobic and they're being instilled with all this hardcore racist fucking conspiratorial bullshit where they actually believe that, like, Haitian immigrants are here to eat pets and stuff like that, that they're not going to listen to any Democrat who's like, we're tough on the border. No, you're not. I saw yesterday that news report where apparently you've let in like 4 billion illegals and that you're teaming up with Hezbollah and that, you know, you've got Hamas insurgents coming through. MS-13 is bringing in Chinese fentanyl all the way from Cuba. I saw it. It was all on Fox News. These are real stories. Meanwhile, every single immigrant here is eating cats. And, like, what are we supposed to do about that? That's going to be the response no matter how hardcore or fascist, or far right, or you know, draconian your policies are on that issue. The Republicans don't want to play with you. They haven't for a long. They haven't, like, Was Obama not a good enough example, seeing what Mitch McConnell did to an attempt by Barack Obama to make part of his legacy be that there should be more of a public health care option, that there should be an affordable health care act where we can do more negotiations with private insurance companies, where people who don't have good private insurance as a result of their employer might be able to have access to health care? That was what Obama wanted his legacy to be, and you can see every step of the way how Mitch McConnell tried to destroy that. And it's not because it was for the benefit of the American people, because he was like, oh, no, it's for the benefit of the private insurance companies. And that's one of the reasons why the Republicans, like the Democrats, who are so deeply intertwined with all these corporations, are not going to meet you halfway. That, like, I'm sorry, but those days are kind of over. You got to stop hoping that you're going to have a whole bunch of fucking, you know, centrist Kirsten, you know, Cinnabons or whatever, who are going to be in the middle, who are constantly just going to be like, oh, okay, well, I can see both sides on this one. I can see the benefit of polluting until society can't exist anymore because of climate change. But I can also see that, you know, getting a really cushy job after I'm a public employee would be really nice. I'm going to choose that route. And that this is me both sides in it. You know, I've seen both sides, you know, the potential end of civilization, payday. I think payday is better.
Student loan smoke bomb. Poof. But we're settling into a rhythm here.
Kristen
nice back
Cinnabon.
And forth. I got to give it to Trump. He's sticking to his guns, and he's not.
And by the way, she can't use that as a franchise name. You can't start a Cinnabon equivalent franchise. I'm copywriting that name.
Letting Kamala Harris get under his skin. I actually think she's not going to be able to needle him.
I'm going to invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom.
Oh, thank you. He froze it at the exact moment. But I was like, yeah, when you watch it, you can actually... can I do it? Frame by frame. Right there. And that's where you see his brain literally snap into. And at this moment forward, he doesn't have the ability to cognitively process information and then also filter it before saying things out loud. And it just reverts to old-timey racist brain, where he's only got one mode. And it's like, blah, blah, Haitians, Haitians. And that's why he melts down pretty effectively after this.
Shit, he's just gonna start taking off his earrings and be like, that's it, motherfucker, let's go! Folks, the eagle has landed. She has attacked what is Donald Trump's most cherished family member, his rally crowds. Donald, remember your training. The question is about why you killed the bipartisan immigration bill. You don't need to think about the other.
First, let me respond to the Please. Rallies. She said people start leaving. People don't go to her rallies.
Yeah. Richie Hannay, thank you for the reading party of 11. Welcome in. Can everyone go to twitch.tv/Richie_Hannay and give a follow back?
Son of a bitch!
People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. Our country is being lost. We're a failing nation. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Again, must have been so profoundly fucked up if you were one of the people who was engaged in really promoting that conspiracy theory from its inception. Because, like, you can see sometimes the timeline look towards the whole Pride, the Kinkit Pride thing, where it starts out on 4chan, and 4chan makes a bunch of posts and says, we've got an operation, we got to scare a lot of normies into hating queer people. So here's a picture of these two people in, like, dog costumes with a little girl. Make sure you post this everywhere. Say that this is from Pride, even if it's not, but make sure you post pictures of it. Say things like, you let this happen, like things that are going to get people really upset, get out there, go do it. And then a whole bunch of people start doing that. And then a couple people start seeing it. Then it pops up in a couple maybe far right blogs or forums or shit like that. And then it gets picked up eventually by someone like Shoe on Head, for example, who promotes it to a larger audience. Then Tim Pool sees it. Then Andy Ngo sees it. Then Tucker Carlson sees it. Then it's on Fox News. And then boom, you can see the whole human centipede of disinformation work its entire way down. But if you go all the way to the very start, toward the feeding source, you'll notice that it's usually somewhere in a dark recess of the internet that doesn't have actual factual like basis to it. And so if you were one of the people who's doing that for the very start for this very, very racist conspiracy theory, and you've seen it gone all the way to not only the vice president, which was bad enough, it was bad enough that the vice president candidate, J.D. Vance, was talking about this and then triple down on the racism the next day rather than issue a correction or even silently try to pretend like it never happened or anything. No, no, no. He said, keep those cat memes going. And now the ex-president of the United States slash the candidate for president of the United States is regurgitating this bile now on a national stage in front of tens of millions of Americans.
What the fuck just happened? I get these unbelievable rallies. People don't leave them. They're eating dogs. Springfield.
I don't know. You can blame your pundits. I would blame all the pundits. Like, honestly, I saw nearly every single one of them was running a story on this. Again, whatever NPC chip they got for the day, that day was be extremely racist towards Haitians, and they got that chip in there, and every single one of them, from Matt Walsh to the Quartering to Crowder, were all talking about how Haitian immigrants are apparently eating a bunch of cats from white people's yards, even though when you actually did a single Google search, again, the Daily Mail reporting on this, honestly, should really tell you a lot as to how far gone they are. The Daily fucking Mail. Like, that tabloid right-wing, like, rag was willing to say and publish a story that was like, yes, so there was a large amount of Haitian immigrants, over 20,000, who arrived to Springfield, Ohio, and they revitalized their economy completely. They were incredible workers. They've been working hard. The factory owners there loved them. This is not a thing. Not a thing. The whole eating of the animals thing, that's just racism. That's the racism that the Republicans have added to the story. But don't let that get in the way of a good old silly meme fest.
The immigrants are eating people's dogs! Which reminds me, if I may, for just a quick moment. A quick reminder to all the pet owners out there.
Oh, I don't know if I can enjoy this segment, because I got a cute little adorable Chico there. I don't know. And, you know, it's like Rebecca was saying, you know, white people and their dogs, right? Like, they don't fuck around when it comes to their dogs. They're very passionate about them.
Just remember to leash your dog.
Except for RFK Jr. Yeah, that I guess he would be the exception to the white people loving their animals rule. Cause...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
That man loves whale juice. Find you a woman who loves you as much as RFK Jr. loves spraying his children with whale juice. And you will be happy into the end of your days.
It's an important way to keep your dogs from fighting other dogs or being hit by a car or being eaten by your immigrant neighbors.
Now, here's another thing just to tell people who haven't, you know, traveled a lot of the world, experienced a lot of other cultures and that kind of stuff. If you want to talk about cruelty to animals, look no further than the Western and the North American factory farming industry. You will see just unfathomable levels of cruelty being performed on animals on a scale to which, like, doesn't, you could have 20,000 like legal Haitian migrants who arrived into Ohio, they could not even make a dent compared to the cruelty of the fact, if that story wasn't a racist conspiracy story, if it was true that they were all arriving to steal white people's cats and dogs and eat them and stuff like that, if that wasn't a racist conspiracy theory, it was true, would not even fucking make a blip in comparison to the factory farming industry, of which every white American is more than proud to just walk into a supermarket and be like, oh, food. I don't know where it comes from, but it's here, and I put down money, and then I get this breast. Cool. I'm going to go and cook this breast. It's not that flavorful. Add some flavor. Boom. Delicious. Amazing. End of story, right? But it's like, that's just the unbelievable amount of, like, inhumane cruelty that is done to animals on such a scale that factory farming promotes. It's like, there's nothing close. And again, if you go to other countries, yes, it's not unusual for people to eat meat other than chicken, pork, or cow. There's other countries that eat other, like when I was in Japan, they eat horse. It is a thing. Now, it's not because they're barbarous or savages or you know, less educated or you know, somehow a inferior civilization of some kind. Human beings have been consuming other animals as long as human beings have been around. That is a part of human history. It is a specific kind of insidious racism that is constantly trying to vilify this idea that they're coming for your pets in America. Right? Like, it's going to be the immigrants, and when they arrive here, they're trying to sexually assault white women, and even worse than that, white folk, they're trying to steal your dogs, trying to steal your cats away from you, trying to steal your pets away from you. That's right, they're arriving in your backyard. What do you think this is going to do to, again, the thousands upon thousands of completely 100% innocent Haitian immigrants to the United States who are just going about their day, and now all of these fucking conservative white people have their minds poisoned with this racism. They see them on the street. Like, do you think there's not going to be a bunch of people getting hassled, a bunch of people getting harassed, a bunch of people having racism thrown their way simply because the president of the United States doesn't know how to use Google? Simply because the vice presidential candidate of the United States doesn't know how to use Google or doesn't care, which is more to the point, right? They'd rather spread the racist conspiracy theory than actually have to take 2 seconds to be like, yeah, this is just racism.
Oh, I'm sorry. Also, fuck off, Dick Cheney. But I'm sorry.
I know, we saw it on TV. TV wouldn't lie.
You were saying?
I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
And Haitians have been dealing with that type of ignorance and hate as far back as I can remember. The other fucked up thing about this is that, like, I saw whenever I talk about Haiti or Haitians or make a post about them on social media, you know, especially on the Nazi app, it'll fill with replies like, oh yeah, here's a picture of, like, Haitians barbecuing people. Oh yeah, here's video footage of, like, the chaos and anarchy that is taking place right now in Haiti. Do you support this and all this kind of stuff? And I was like, when you talk about Haiti, you should talk about how they accomplished something that, like, was considered unthinkable. Like, there's nothing that's strikes more terror into the core of a fucking imperial oppressor or colonizer than the idea of a successful slave revolt. That is what you have to constantly suppress and try and destroy within the will of people who are longing for freedom, to try and erase the idea that this is even possible. But against all odds, they achieved it. They beat their masters. They killed their slave masters. That is something that everyone should be like, holy fuck, that is so incredible. What an accomplishment. Like, they should be revered as a people simply for pulling that off. But the French would not, like, you know, allow that to happen, because, whoa, what if they were an example for other people who are oppressed around the world, and they showed that this is what can happen if you destroy your oppressors, if you beat your slave masters, and then all of a sudden you earn your own freedom? Well, we're going to have to tax you in perpetuity unless you want to have a war with the Empire of France. So you're going to have to pay tons and tons of francs, tons and tons of debt to us. All the losses that we are losing by not using you as human slaves anymore, we want that monies, and we want it for a long time in perpetuity. And then as other countries colonized it, including the United States, the same problem continues to happen, and they're kept in like perpetual poverty as a result of that. So the bad guys in that story are the French. Like, they're the ones who people should be turning towards and saying are barbarous, are savages, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, to treat other human beings who literally fought for their own freedom, isn't that supposed to be the American ideal, fighting for your freedom? Y'all beat the British, you know, like, you're not going to sit by and let taxation without representation happen anymore, that kind of shit. Well, then, goddamn, you should be respecting the Haitians. You should be looking at them as comrades. You should be like, holy fuck, yeah, you did it. You fucking beat back those French bastards back in the day, you know, kind of thing.
I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
but
television.
But the people on television saying their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
Again, the Springfield city manager says there's no evidence of that.
And that's why that was a fantastic coup de grace by the entire campaign. Kamal HQ, who was ever behind, hey, by the way, at a certain point, make sure you go after his weakness. What's his weakness? His very, very fragile ego. Yeah, he's a man baby. Again, obsessed with size, very inadequate, has to have huge amounts of monies, huge amounts of success, huge amounts of sexual conquests, huge amounts of votes, big numbers and rallies, the biggest, the best, the biggest. That's all he's ever just all grandiose. I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. Yeah, it's probably something he's really fragile about. I didn't think it would be that bad with such low-hanging bait. Because again, all she said was that if you go to his rallies, they're not that busy. They're kind of boring. People leave early. That was like that was enough for him to be like, okay, oh, if we're going there, then I'm getting real fucking plantation owner on this shit. You know, I'm surprised he didn't pull out his southern drawl. He was like going off about the next part.
Having spent some time in Springfield myself, I believe I know what's happening here. I believe Trump himself may be becoming one of Springfield's most famous residents. And I believe we have some footage.
It's rotten being old. No one listens to you.
Okay, that's the only disappointing part. There were so many better Simpsons clips you could have used. I've seen a lot of good ones on the internet already being pulled out from all corners. I sent one to Christopher Rufo earlier today. He's got an email set up for people to send in tips of any, like, Haitians eating pictures of, verifiable pictures of Haitians eating cats or dogs. Christopher Rufo has offered a $5,000 reward. So I said I couldn't find any of that, but I did find a picture of a woke liberal hippie trying to eat a baby, a California cheeseburger, and then, you know, sent him this picture. So, I mean, if this picture shows up in right-wing circles, you'll know where it came from. That was me. That was me that sent that in. Yep.
Hey! Someone ate my dog! And finally, no debate with the former president would be complete without addressing the president, former president's closing number of the Trump show's first term.
Mr. President, on January 6th, you told your supporters to march to the Capitol. You said you would be right there with them. Is there anything you regret about what you did on that day?
It wasn't done by me. It was done by others. It would have never happened if Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington did their jobs. I wasn't responsible.
I do, like, you know, obviously I know Nancy Pelosi has become a little bit of an odd ally to the left as of very, very recently, but it's still profoundly bizarre to attack her on that day of all people as her being responsible when, like, there's enough documented video evidence of her and a lot of other people being quite terrified as people were marching into the building, worried about what was going to happen if they breached, you know, a couple more layers of security. That is the thing that we can see with our own eyes in the video footage that has been released of the day of. So to try and, like, put this on Nancy Pelosi, if she had only done her job, you know?
Responsible for security. Nancy Pelosi was responsible. She didn't do her job. I had nothing to do with that other than they asked me to make a speech. I showed up for a speech. You spent.
Right, I am going to play this, but I want to see the Simpsons clip. Oh, people are just going to start dumping Simpsons clips now. Eh?
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything.
See? Right there. That was only 2 seconds long. That, better. More appropriate than the one he put. Trump post debate is IRL. Am I out of touch? Yeah. Am I so out of touch? Thank you, Abscondage. I appreciate it.
2 months riling up your base that our country had literally been stolen from them through fraudulent means. That you could never even get a whiff of in a court of law, and let yourself just abuse them. You pressed on. You abused their trust. You showed up for a speech. You fucking tweeted, join me on January 6th. It will be wild. But suddenly now, I was just a hired magician, did a bar mitzvah. I didn't do anything. I showed up with a hat and a rabbit, and then the whole party went out of control. And this is it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if this debate's going to change anything. I really don't. People are awfully set in the manner that they view these proceedings. What I think is a home run answer for one candidate, someone else views as a dodge or a lie or any of those other things. In some ways, it doesn't matter what they say anymore. But one thing will always be true, and it is the quality of the former president I respect the least. Whenever he is cornered and forced to face even the smallest of consequences for his own mendacity and scheming, he reverts to the greatest refuge of scoundrels. As Shaggy would say, it wasn't me. I did nothing wrong. I just showed up. They're the ones who went crazy. This man who constantly professes to be
Shaggy
your
would
champion,
say that.
Who says they're going to have to go through him to get to you, will always, when the boat is going down, be the first into the lifeboats, because in that moment, he will always say the same thing. I didn't know anything about it. I was just told to show up for a cruise, even though everybody knows he was the fucking captain of the ship. In any other country.
Not Scooby Shaggy. Oh, I know. It wasn't me. It's the song. But that's the only part of that joke that connects, right? And like, once you keep going, I was like, I don't think Shaggy the singer would have said the rest of that.
That laugh in any other country.
Not like, oh, sorry, Scoob. You know, not that Shaggy.
In any other country, that lack of accountability would be disqualifying. But in this country, it means the race is tighter than a... Would you excuse me for just one second?
Perfect. All right, let's get to the copium.
Folks, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris just went toe-to-toe on the biggest political stage in the world. Let me tell you, the real battle is actually just beginning. Daily Wire is right on the front lines.
So oh, my God.
DailyWire.com/subscribe.
Oh, you're still shilling. This is a five-minute video.
Don't know anything about her positions, and they still don't know anything about her positions because the moderators never pressed her on any of her positions, and Donald Trump didn't either. On Donald Trump's side of the aisle, Donald Trump did not perform tonight. He didn't do an amazing job calling her on her BS. The best thing he said all night was his closing statement, which is what he should have opened with. He closed with, why didn't you do it? That should have been the very first thing he said in the debate. And the fact that that wasn't what he said right off the top was a mistake. He was also incredibly distractible tonight. He took the bait on nearly every question. Every time she said something that you knew was going to get his goat, he just let it happen. So, for example, when she gave him the bait on his crowd sizes, on people are leaving your crowds, they're leaving your rallies, he couldn't resist going after her about the crowd size. What about January 6th?
That's with the weird camera angle. So they're doing the show where it's a bunch of old men sitting around smoking cigars, talking about how, you know, fascism might not be a bad idea, actually, and that, you know, women have too many rights these days. You know, just guy stuff.
The election of 2020. These are all distractions. The only thing that mattered tonight for Donald Trump was defining her, and he did not define her, which means that I still checked the calendar. We still have a couple months till the election. She is going to have to be defined. The big takeaway from this is not going to be about Trump.
Well, yeah, y'all have been trying. You only have two settings, racism, sexism. That's the only two speeds you've been using on this so far. Are you coming up with a third thing, a novel third thing?
Who still remains Trump. And it's really not going to be about Harris, who performed the best I think it's possible for Kamala Harris to perform, which is to say, she was fairly obnoxious. She lied a lot. She said a lot of things that were untrue.
Fact check, please. I want to hear the untrue things. I'll agree with you on the Israel segment. I'll agree with you on the America needs to have the most lethal army in the world segment. I can agree with you on the we have to beat China in the AI war segment. That kind of stuff is just kind of ridiculous. But on the Donald Trump stuff, no, I think she was very, very on point.
She was never called on any of that. The big takeaway is going to be the continued destruction of the legacy media on behalf of the Democratic Party. The legacy media have decided full scale. They are now apparatchiks of the Democratic Party. They are so far up Kamala Harris's ass that they're...
Again, this idea that like legacy media is hyper woke and all this kind of stuff. Legacy media, especially like, you know, mainstream television news reports, all that kind of stuff, it skews much older by demograph. And that's the reason why CNN went from being kind of a centrist to center left to a center right network. Because again, as your like your age demograph continues to be older, as more and more young people don't have cable and decide to have cable 2, which is just internet with downloadable streaming services for the same price as cable, they're probably going to get their internet from online sources, social media, Twitch streamers, podcasters, scum and villainy, essentially.
Doing active colonoscopies with their eyeballs. It's unbelievable watching David Muir ask questions to Donald Trump like, why are you so bad and orange and mean? And then turning to Kamala Harris and saying, and why is he so bad and orange and mean? It's absolutely insipid and totally insane. The media tonight were beyond the worst expectations that I had for them. I thought that they were going to do like a baseline creditable job because CNN did. Jake Tapper and Dan Abash, they actually did that in the last debate. They actually asked questions and let people answer them. David Muir became an active participant in this debate. Lindsay Davis became an active participant in the debate. And then they never once fact-checked Kamala Harris, who lied over and over and over. She lied. She said, for example, that Donald Trump was a backer of Project 2025. A lie. She said...
What did you say there? I mumbled it.
Trump was a backer of Project 2025.
Was a backer of Project 2025. I think thanks to the gay furries, we know that to be a truth, that an enormous amount of Trump campaign staffers are also people who were working on Project 2025. He doesn't need to necessarily be the architect of it. He doesn't need to be the president or CEO of the Heritage Foundation. But if you look at the amount of connections there are between Trump officials, ex-cabinet, members, as well as his staff and campaign contributors. Yes, they're all deeply embroiled within. That's not a lie.
A lie. She said that Donald Trump said there were very fine people on both sides of the Charlottesville riots, including the neo-Nazis. That is a lie. It's been debunked repeatedly. They did not say that that was a lie. She said that he had said that he was going to unleash a
The clip exists.
You're calling the alt-left and white supremacists on the same moral plane.
I'm not putting anybody on a moral plane. What I'm saying is this. You had a group on one side and you had a group on the other, and they came at each other with clubs, and it was vicious, and it was horrible, and it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want.
The Nazis? The Tiki Torch Nazi guys? The ones who were screaming blood and soil? Richard Spencer? Those people?
But that's the way it is.
Side, sir, you said there was hatred, there was violence on both sides.
I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
And
if you reported it accurately, you would say.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really both siding a thing between neo-Nazis and people who oppose neo-Nazis. And again, the people who were opposing the neo-Nazis, one person got killed by a neo-Nazi.
They showed up in Charlottesville.
Excuse me.
To protest.
Excuse me. They didn't put themselves down as neo-Nazis. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people.
Yeah, kind of verbatim what he said, actually. When you say that it's a lie to imply that, and the clip, like, how long did that take me? 3 seconds, 4 seconds to find? No, that's not a lie. He said that out loud. That's a thing that happened. Again, on one end, there was anti-Semitic and racist neo-Nazis with tiki torches screaming about blood and soil, Jews will not replace us, that kind of shit. And on the other side, there were people who are against that. There's not fine people on both sides. There's Nazis and people who oppose Nazis.
Bloodbath on the country if you lost. That's a full-scale lie. They never fact-check a single thing that she did the entire night. And actually, that helps Trump. And it helps Trump for a very simple reason. If you are a Trump fan, and if you think that Trump didn't actually perform unbelievably well tonight, which I think is true, I don't think he did an amazing job tonight, the easy out is, yeah, because the media were targeting him. And if you're a moderate watching this, I think that it had to be apparent, even to moderates, even to independents, the media want Kamala Harris elected. They are doing their best to make sure that Kamala Harris is elected. So
by the way, in the last debate with Joe Biden, certainly I thought there were parts in which, you know, the moderators were grilling Joe Biden on parts of his policy or history or stuff like that, as they should, by the way, the moderator should do that. But at the end of the day, I walked away from that debate being like, that was Joe Biden's loss. It's not on the moderators to run Joe Biden for president of the United States. It's for Joe Biden to run for Joe Biden for the president of the United States. It's up to him to be able to convey his ideas. It's up to him to be able to debunk or argue against Donald Trump's policies or platform. That's all on Joe Biden. If he can't even communicate what he's trying to say, it doesn't matter how biased I think the moderators are. Oh, the fucking mods, the mods were out of control. Like, no, that really just profoundly shows you how bad Donald Trump did. If you're like now saying that this was an attack, a definite plan attack by the media, you know, this from start to finish, you can tell the entire thing was rigged. Like, I think they went out of their way to make sure that, like, hey, we're not going to have an audience, so it can't be swayed by boos and hollers and stuff like that. We're not going to have both mics on, although we did do it sometimes, but we're mostly going to have the mic shut off so each person can say something at any given time. We're both going to question both candidates on things that we believe they have either lied about or flip-flopped on, which is what they did to Kamala as well. I mean, they you could say that, like, oh, it was very unfair of them to start grilling her on how much she's changed and how she used to be a lot more progressive and how she used to care about Medicare for All. And she used to care about, like, ending fracking, and she used to care about the Green New Deal, and now she's just abolished all those. Like, what are you doing, mods? Why are you attacking her? Don't attack her on her actual policy positions. Don't attack her on the things that she's 180ing and flip-flopping on. Why would you? Oh, I hate the mods so much. Like, no. Again, you're vying for the president of the United States. You're going to be asked questions.
Tomorrow, we'll revert right back to where we were before this debate. We'll revert right back to Kamala Harris is vibes and she is joy and she is policy vagary and she'll never answer another question. She's going to try and get all the way from here to the election without ever answering another question. There will be no more debates. She's going to declare that she won. The media will declare that she won and that Trump lost. Trump really has no interest in doing another debate because I frankly don't think that it's in his interest to do another debate at this point. So that was the last presidential debate of this election cycle. The bottom line is that when all is said and done, it seems like a lot of this is baked into the cake. And in the moment, it's uncomfortable because it was such an opportunity. You know, if you're like me and you're sitting there, you're like leaping out of your seat. Why won't he just say it? Why won't he just say it? It's very frustrating. She will say something about how race shouldn't divide us. And you're
because he fucking sucked. You can just say that, you know? Like, I'm not even a fan. I hate Joe Biden. I think he's a fucking disgusting racist-ass war criminal. But even then, I can say Joe Biden performed horrifically in his debate against Donald Trump. Wasn't the mods. It was not an outside conspiracy of the media to destroy him.
Sitting there going, what the actual living, like, you are a case in point of a person who divides based on race. It's what you do for a living. It's how you became vice president of the United States. She will
see, that's racism right there. You're doing it. You're doing the whole thing, trying to divide people based on race. If you keep implying that someone's only hired if they happen to be multiracial because they're multiracial, like, the whole purpose of those programs and why a lot of them came at, you know, at the height of the civil rights movement in the United States was because there was unfair hiring practices and discrimination towards people of color. And that's one of the things implemented in that you should start to have more diversity within your own workplaces. That if the population of the United States is 13-14% black, then if a company and most major companies have less than 2% black employees, that should speak to something here, right? That there should be perhaps an opportunity for people who wouldn't have the opportunity otherwise to be able to go to secondary or post-secondary education or post-secondary educational institutions. This is not about oppressing white folk or trying to divide the country based on race. The country is already divided based on race. It's got a long history of racism and segregation and Jim Crow and slavery and the genocide and oppression and reservation system of indigenous people. Like, all of that is part of American history. It's baked into the fabric of the country. Like, that's why, again, the right wants to ignore all that. The right wants to be like, oh, let's not teach that in history course. Let's not teach about how slavery was bad. We should be teaching alternate history about how, well, yes, parts of slavery, we have to admit, were maybe uncouth, but they did learn skills. You know, slaves learned useful skills, so why don't we teach that in Florida schools.
Say things about Afghanistan. They'll ask her about whether she has any regrets, and she'll say no. And instead of him coming back and saying, don't you regret the 13 dead American soldiers whose families you ignored? You're just waiting for him to take the opening. But the problem was that he'd been set off earlier in the debate. He was incredibly distractible. He was following every squirrel down every particular rabbit hole. Again, the best moment I thought of the debate for Donald Trump was that closing statement where he finally laid out the big question. If you say you have
his closing statement was horrible. I was surprised. I at first was like, this can't be his closing statement. He's not using this as yet another unfounded, baseless attack moment instead of proposing what he offers to the American people. That's what your closing statement is supposed to be. Like, my opponent wants to divide America. I want to give Americans hope. I want to speak for every American and represent you and help the middle class and help working families and help people who are poor and can't afford childcare. That's what you're supposed to do in your closing statements.
Well, these big plans, why don't you do any of those things? But in the final analysis, I can be pissed at the media. I can feel discomfort with how the debate went tonight. This is still a tight race. It's not going to become a not tight.
Well, yeah, I know. That's pretty, you know, that speaks worse to a lot of, like, Democrats. This one should be an easy win for you in terms of how bad and unelectable Trump not only is, both for his criminality, his, you know, history, his being a serial rapist, all that kind of stuff. But in addition to that, he's picked one of the most deeply unlikable, if not, I think at this point, the most unlikable vice presidential candidate in U.S. history. So that should also give you a bit of an advantage, right? And maybe you got to stop doing things like this. So there was a special guest star that was announced yesterday that was going to appear in the post-debate, you know, circle with Kamala Harris and Wallace and their team. Turns out that they were Trump administration officials, including the Scaramouche, the good old Scaramouche. Vice President Kamala Harris is bringing two unusual guests to tonight's debate in Philadelphia, two former officials of her opponent's administration. As part of our campaign's ongoing effort to use former President Donald Trump's former allies to get under the skin in the lead up to Tuesday night's debate, as they seek to woo both prominent Republican officials and rank-and-file voters who oppose Trump in what will certainly be a close election. I mean, if this is honestly, yeah, if you're going to go in this route where it's like we're going to now showcase how every single person who was either a Republican or was close to Trump or may have supported the Republican Party in the past is now voting for Kamala Harris because of how fucked up Trump is, why not just like separate these two into like there's Kamala HQ, they're brat, they're unburdened, they're all this. And then there's whatever you want to call this other entity or promotional organization that works to spread that information, but don't combine the two. Like, we shouldn't be seeing Dick Cheney at Kamala Harris events in the upcoming future. That would be an absolute disaster. Speaking of disasters, Elon Musk breaks debate silence with bizarre offer to impregnate Taylor Swift. This is a real headline. It is a thing that happened. If you didn't know, Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the debate. Mic drop kind of a moment, obviously, I would assume pre-planned. And that has gotten a lot of Republicans exceptionally angry, as if it was some kind of surprise, you know, as if it was like, oh, this came out of left field. Well, I mean, she has a history of supporting Democratic candidates. She has a history of trying to get her fans to register to vote. I'm not entirely shocked by the Taylor Swift endorsement. I am shocked by this, though, because, again, what melted in your brain that made you think that, like, I think he's, like, again, all of these people are in such a fucked up, profoundly misogynistic mode 24-7. Like, listen to Dave Rubin talk about this.
How this fits into the pop culture part of this, because pop culture is a huge driver of the cultural narrative. Well, here's the tweet from Colin Rugg about the Taylor Swift thing, and we'll get back to it in a second. So as we referenced before, Taylor Swift endorses Kamala Harris on Instagram after the debate on ABC, proudly calls herself a childless cat lady. Elon Musk, who they hate, he saw that, and he wrote this. Fine, Taylor, you win. I will give you a child and guard your cats with my life. So he's mocking, he's exposing the ridiculousness, right? It's like, Taylor Swift, you are a young, pretty girl. Do you know what the gang members from Venezuela do to young, pretty girls?
Now, I don't know if it's just years and years and years of living in their echo chambers and reinforcing a lot of these fucked up stereotypes and stuff like that, but like, I think these monsters at this point are incapable of speaking about women without somehow trying to imply threats of rape or sexual assault or physical violence. You know, that seems to be the way that they constantly talk about this. Like, it's not profoundly strange and, like, deeply, deeply disturbing that Elon Musk would put something like that out there. He's just trying to bring attention to the fact that, like, do you know what the Venezuelan gangs are going to do to you because you're a young, pretty girl? And when they arrive, obviously, you know what Venezuelans do. So, like, when they get into the country, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be safe for you. But Elon Musk is going to protect you. And so that's what he was trying to say.
It ain't pretty. So what do we have to do? We have to keep finding each other. To whatever extent we can, we have to keep waking people up. It is the only chance we have in these remaining 60 days.
Yeah, the reason people are being alienated by your messaging is because it's profoundly gross. And like, yeah, this again goes back into the really, really fucked up section of why do you think this is normal? And how is this not completely negatively impacted your businesses. Like, I know they have been negatively impacted. I've seen the Tesla stock. I know it's a fraction of what it used to be, but it still hasn't bottomed out. It's still very overvalued for what it is. Even if it's at like 187 or whatever, that's still higher than, you know, the amount of cars or manufacturing or like actual product they produce. Elon Musk remained silent while Trump was blowing his first debate with Kamala Harris and issued a bizarre response to Taylor Swift endorsing Harris at the end of the night. The music megastar signed off with her endorsement with "Love and Hope, Taylor Swift, Childless Cat Lady." Musk, father of 12, broke his debate silence with an apparent offer to impregnate Swift. "Fine, Taylor, you win. I will give you a child and guard your cats with my life." The normally hyperactive Musk subsequently retweeted a false claim about the ABC moderators fact-checking during the debate, then posted a more thorough explanation of his thoughts. "While I don't think the debate hosts were fair to Donald Trump, Kamala Harris exceeded most people's expectations tonight," Musk wrote. "That said, when it comes to getting things done, not just saying nice-sounding words, I strongly believe that Trump will do a far better job. After all, if Kamala can do great things, why hasn't she? Biden rarely shows up for work."
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Work, so she's basically in charge already. Not how the presidency works. The question comes down to this: do you want current trends to continue for four more years, or do you want change? I want you to stop publicly sexually harassing women. I mean, he's finding new ways to do that, even if, like, they aren't his employees. He feels like he's found some kind of weird-ass cheat code or something. A new report reveals secretive influencer networks are spreading some of the worst attacks on Kamala Harris. A secret network of influencers were paid big bucks to spread sexual rumors about Kamala Harris, according to a new Semaphore investigation. The investigation delves into weird political networks of posters led by an unknown individual who made it their mission to smear Kamala Harris about her sex life. One person made as much as $20,000 for being a part of the scheme. While the group first organized around generic Republican talking points to support Donald Trump after an emergency war room Kamala messaging meeting following President Joe Biden's choice to step aside, the network shifted gears to talk about Harris's sexual activities. They compared Harris to Haley Welsh, the hawk to a girl who went viral after discussing oral sex. In August, Trump elevated similar attacks on Harris, posting a meme on Truth Social featuring photos of Harris and Hillary Clinton, alongside the comment, "Funny how blowjobs impacted both of their careers differently." Other conservative posters also emphasized Harris's previous relationship with California politician Willie Brown and television host Montel Williams. Meanwhile, the right-wing influencer group moved in secret, in Zoom meetings that kept their cameras off and operated under aliases, but Semaphore was able to ID one participant, former New York Representative George Santos. Of course. After the plan to sexually smear Harris materialized, the disgraced former congressman said he rejected the messaging and left the call, according to the participant who spoke with Semaphore. On July 24th, less than 48 hours after the influencer call, Santos posted on X criticizing conservative influencers talking about Kamala's sex life and race rather than legitimate issues. "Please, God, make it stop. I don't pay my bills or fill up my car with this nonsense." Odd thing to say.
Emily, because I guess she decided, oh, this will be fun to crap on him when he's down, when she perceives him as down. Taylor Swift just endorsed Kamala Harris. Taylor Swift, yeah. She posts a picture of herself with her cat. Uh-huh. Would you look at this?
Of course.
I'm like, you can kiss your sails to the Republican audience. Goodbye, Taylor. Hope you enjoyed them while you had them.
Oh, no. What am I going to do? Taylor Swift sales suddenly affected by conservative consumers.
And this is what she posts. "Like many of you, I watched the debate tonight. If you haven't already, now's a great time to do your research on the issues at hand and the stances these candidates take on the topics that matter to you most. As a voter, I make sure to watch and read everything I can about their proposed policies, etc. Recently, I was made aware that an AI of me falsely endorsing Donald Trump's presidential run was posted to its site, blah, blah, blah. And the simplest way to combat misinformation is with the truth. I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I am voting for Kamala because she fights for the rights and causes I believe need a warrior to champion them. I think she's a steady-handed, gifted leader. And I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of her running mate, Tim Walz, who has been standing up for LGBTQ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her own body for decades." Oh, my God. So this woman is fine with his plan to take custody of the children from parents who don't want them to chop off their body parts and put them in Minnesota court's custody so the body parts can be chopped off and they can be sterilized.
Now, if you're listening to this being like, wait, what the fuck? Megyn Kelly, I didn't know she was this extreme. Oh, yeah. She's like one of the examples of the like black mold effect when you have just the turf brain rot, how fast you just condescend. Like, they spiral so quickly. You know, British people throw away their entire legacies for this kind of shit. Like, once they get the transphobic brain worms in their own minds, they can't stop themselves. And it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And then all of a sudden you're talking to Megyn Kelly. He used to be kind of more of a center-right but moderate Fox News host-style Republican who was actually kind of friendly to some LGBTQ plus issues and stuff like that, to just hardcore nonsense, you know, fucking weird, bizarre, torturous fantasies that she has. And constantly when you hear her talk about these issues now, she's like, they're trying to mutilate the body parts. You can literally see the penises and bags and stuff like that. You're like, Jesus Christ. She never used to be this rough. Oh, it's the transphobic brainworms. I get it. I'm not going to play this clip because apparently it has some slurs, but InfoWars host Owen Schroyer performs a racist impression of Kamala Harris using an anti-black slur. The whole thing is here, but of no surprise. Again, InfoWars is a white supremacist network. Alex Jones gives it a lot of cover because of all the memes and the frogs and the gay frogs, and it's all super funny and everyone loves the gay frogs, blah, 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 all that kind of shit. And you're all just like, oh, yeah, he's funny, right? But no, he's a white supremacist, has been promoting white supremacists, has white supremacists on his network, is constantly pushing great replacement conspiracy theories. Like the guy, yeah, it's one of those people where the memes have run a lot of cover for his truly despicable shit. I haven't seen the Donald Trump post show.
100% of the stories covered on ABC about Kamala, 100% of the time was positive. 93% of the time when they covered you, it was negative. So it was infuriating to watch them fact check you and not her when she brought up IVF, when she brought up Project 2025 several times.
Oh, you mean when Donald Trump said that he's like, what was it, the master of fertilization or something? Like, he said the grossest line.
And when she brought up Charlottesville, here are some of the lies that she said about you. Listen.
A detailed and dangerous plan called Project 2025 that the former president intends on implementing. Couples who pray and
no lie detected there.
And dream of having a family are being denied IVF treatments. If no Donald Trump were to be reelected, he will sign a national abortion ban. And what did the
where are the lies?
President then at the time say there were fine people on each side. On that day, 140.
Oh, yeah. James from the internet. Thanks for the rating party of 112. Welcome in, Russian comrades, here to listen to all of the RT-based news. Yes, and deliver me my paycheck, James. I deserve one. Can everyone go to twitch.tv/James from the internet? Give James a follow back. We're just dealing with the copium, and it's so sweet. There's just so much of it. So much right-wing copium going on right now. It's the only thing that's really kind of like, you know, helping soothe all my left-wing kind of disappointment with the debate, because I you know, I wish I could just get into the brat summer of it all, but it's just really hard with the whole, you know, most lethal army. We will do everything to help Israel and its right to defend itself and destroy and defeat Hamas kind of stuff. So, but I get it. It's not for me. It's not for lefty Canadian streamers. It's for normy Americans to win an election. So that's what's happening. That's what's going on. T-minus 2011. Thank you very much for gifting a tier one sub. And King Kong Chiro, thank you very much. Been hanging out in YouTube chat, but I came back to sub and tell you how awesome you are. Chico is love. I appreciate that. I agree. And Dango Bangle, thank you for the other $1.99. TV killed the radio, but the net revived the radio. It's true, because now you can listen to the sound of my voice and look at the picture of my Chico. Look at that little croissant. Always sleeping so peacefully. I still can't believe he hasn't gone to the bathroom. I've taken him for two separate 45-minute walks, and he hasn't done his number two. I think he's going to wake up at a certain point and be like, Dad!
Law enforcement officers were injured. And
T-minus 2011, thanks for the other gifted sub to Ed Dreck, 1312.
Some died. Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
And the bloodbath, you were talking about the economy. It's a term that's used a lot when people are talking about a bad economy. What's your reaction to why didn't the moderators correct her?
Because they're dishonest, and because I think ABC took a big hit.
Why didn't you? You were there. You were given more speaking time than she got. I looked at the numbers. Trump got effectively way more speaking time and way more opportunities to speak. The stats speak for themselves. Here is the debate broken down by the numbers. Kamala Harris spoke for 37.1 minutes, amount of time she spoke, 23. Donald Trump spoke for 41.9 minutes, amount of time she spoke, 39.
Last night. I mean, to be honest, they're a news organization. They have to be licensed.
T-2011, thanks for the other gifted sub. Appreciate you.
To do it. They ought to take away their license for the way they did that. Bloodbath was referring to the economy. Everybody loved the term because as soon as they heard the word, it's sort of a vicious word. But referring to the economy, they have created an economy. Bloodbath was the word that I used. And it was fine in that context. And they were trying to make it sound like there was a riot or something, and it was a bloodbath. IVF, I was a leader on IVF, the IVF, which is fertilization. I was a total leader on that.
The IVF, which is fertilization. I'm the leader on fertilization. That's what he said. I'm the leader on fertilization.
When I first heard about it, like right from the beginning, I was one of the leaders on it.
Thank you very much.
And the Republican Party has been a leader on it. She tried to say it was just the opposite. The whole thing with abortion, what he said, I mean, it was incredible. I think he corrected me six times. And each time
Mr.
I was
President?
Right. I believe each time I was right, didn't correct her at all. And she was saying these things. She was using like Charlottesville. She was using Charlottesville. And everybody, you take a look at Laura Ingraham. She did it incredibly. She had it totally debunked. She said that. In fact, it makes it angry. She gets angry when people hear about Charlottesville, when they use that. Because what they did is they stopped and they didn't put the following sentence in. And when they put the last sentence in, when it was all put together, what I said was absolutely perfect. And ABC knew that. Everybody knew
absolutely
that, frankly.
Perfect.
I think they lost a lot of credibility. But regardless, look, the polls are saying that I won that by 80-20, 90. We have one here, 92-7. And I
what
sort
poll?
Of believe that's right. I thought, look, I've been told I'm a good debater.
Can you name the poll?
I think it was one of my better debates, maybe my best.
Was it the Trump Social poll? Yeah, we ran a poll on Trump Social. I won by 92%.
Debate, I think. I don't know. That's why I'm disappointed in this guy, Harold Ford. I don't know if he's still there, but I don't know what he was watching because he was just as dishonest as ABC, in my opinion.
Mm. Well, you didn't. Even, like, you know, your own fans have been saying it. That's why they're all saying that it was the moderators that won the debate.
Yes, it was a 3-on-1 debate. It was disappointing that she didn't have her feet held to the fire.
Oh, it was a Newsmax poll. Oh, wow. Unbiased source. Cool. Newsmax. Newsmax viewers thought Trump won the Trump versus Kamala Harris debate.
By the moderators, they went out of their way to try to do that to Donald Trump. But I think people that take away from this debate, even with all that, Donald Trump is the candidate that's going to change things. Kamala Harris is the candidate that, as President Trump said in his closing statement, she's been there 3.5 years. Why hasn't she fixed any of these problems during that time? She does not have an answer to that question. Yes, it was a three.
Remember Ron DeSantis? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Shreds ABC News moderators for ganging up on Trump. Oh, no. On Newsmax.
Fortunately, we had moderators who are clearly biased, who are constantly fact-checking Donald Trump. None of these kind of whoppers that the vice president was saying, and none of her failure
whoppers
to really explain that, answer that first question, that very, very critical first question. They simply sat there on the sidelines and allowed that to pass.
Cope, 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 cope. Trump is in the spin room ranting about poll numbers fed to him by his campaign. I think the best debate personally that I've ever had.
Getting polls that show 92-6, 88-11. We're having a lot of great polls that just came out there. Polls and lots of other polls, but you see the polls. A very important.
Is the Fox News cameraman drunk, or just, I guess it's just a lot of people probably just getting bumped?
Debate. Now she wants to do another one because she got beaten tonight, but I don't know.
Why wouldn't you look at her?
Why wouldn't you look at her? That's a urinalism.
The polls are indicating that we got 90%
60%, 72%, 71%, and 89%.
Where are you getting these numbers from?
Very good. Beyond the polls. I felt very good. I had a good time doing it.
The best polls, the biggest polls, huge numbers.
Negatively, but that's what happened. They ruined our country.
89, 92,
99%.
You're all having a good time. Cool stuff. But hey, there was no one who was melting down harder and faster than the quartering. When you're so misogyny-coded, your default setting when yapping about politics is to monger about women's right to vote. Quartering. The October surprise will be Democrats using the 25th Amendment to force Joe Biden out officially and make Kamala Harris the incumbent. It won't work, but they will try. You didn't version history. The October surprise will be Democrats using the 19th Amendment to force Joe Biden out officially and make Kamala Harris the incumbent. It won't work, but they will try. And then last night, how was he doing? Taylor Swift is a stupid twat who can't keep literally any man happy. Please tell me who is this twat is voting for. I am holding my breath. The steal is on. Good night. 98.5% of voters don't care about debates, especially voters on ABC. I thought this was my best debate ever, especially since there was 3-on-1. Fair. Trump should refuse all debates unless they are on Fox. I believe I am saying this, but CNN was actually far superior to ABC. This was the most biased BS I've ever seen. In hostile territory, the best grade I can give for Trump is a C-. He lost. Cope and Seether, whatever, but he did. Yes, he lost the 3-v-1, but he lost. He got triggered and got off topic because he lost a solid 5-point lead ahead in leading the betting markets. Get back at it. They're all so polymarket poisoned. Like, please do not use Polymarket, a.k.a. the cryptocurrency betting markets, to judge whether or not this election is going to go one way or another. The way that the Quartering and Tim Pool and all of them keep using Polymarket. I don't know if they're sponsored. Are they sponsored by Polymarket? They're always posting like, Polymarket shows Trump leading. Polymarket shows Trump crushing Kamala in all states. Polymarket shows Polymarket. Yeah, I mean, these are the cryptocurrency-based gambling markets. I'm not like, what do they mean in reality? In terms of, like, maybe you look towards the Vegas betting markets, because, yes, they're most likely trying to secure that bag. It didn't cost them the election, but it will cost them a week of headlines. What is your plan, you dumb twat? All-time terrible performance by Trump. He got triggered and let that loser run a full hour of TV. He has the final word. Hope he kills it. Worst, most biased debate in history. Kamala will never agree to another. Trump has to go full attack mode. Trump lost the first hour. Time to go attack mode. Completely rigged against Trump. Rigged. Okay, Trump has to go on the attack now. Not a great debate for Trump so far. Gotta finish strong. He did it to her. Trump is triggered. Calm down. Trump has taken a really bad 50 minutes here. He's debating Kamala and the moderators. He's got to unleash. ABC is very biased. They're only fact-checking Trump, even though Kamala Harris is lying nonstop. So on his YouTube channel, we're getting mixed messages. There's two distinctive videos here. There's Donald Trump destroys Kamala Harris. Most savage moments. Next to rigged debate. Yeah. The bias backfired. So, I'm not entirely sure who to believe between the two of you. Again, getting very mixed messages. Oh, that's Glenn Greenwald. But let's check out Rigged Debate. Let's see how rigged
I'm goes. Disgusted. I'm ashamed of those moderators at ABC News. They did exactly what their bosses wanted them to do. The person who runs ABC News is a close personal friend of Kamala Harris, that is responsible for Kamala Harris and her husband meeting. It was 3-1. The numerous fact checks on what he said and none on what she said. None. And she lied repeatedly. When Trump tried to say that his comment that he lost 2020 by a whisker was him being sarcastic, David Muir actually injected saying, "I didn't hear sarcasm." Who gives a shit what you heard?
Ooh, yeah. Dropping the Thug Life memes 2024. I guess this is inevitable when, you know, as you, your editor, your team, you're all millennials, you're eventually going to have to stick with what you know instead of dropping maybe like a skibidi toilet.
What's going on, everyone? Jeremy here from The Quartering, and yikes, I watched the debate last night, so you didn't have to. And I think,
why did everyone keep saying that? That's not just a right wing thing. That was everybody. Leftists were saying it too. Like, hey, everyone, I'm watching the debate, so you don't have to. And I was like, I saw like 40 different posts of people saying that. And I was like, I think everyone's just watching it. I think people are watching it. They might be watching it with people that they enjoy the company of, you know, say like you're a lefty, you want to watch it on one of our channels, or if you're a right winger, you want to watch it in the piss basement. Sure. But I think everyone was still kind of watching parts of it.
I think. I can confidently say it was the most biased, embarrassing thing that I've ever seen on television. And I thought some of the debates that Hillary Clinton was in were bad.
Yeah, with Hassan. Hassan, you traitor.
This was not...
Don't give in to his beautiful ways.
Nonsense. There were literal moments where Donald Trump was debating the moderators. Everybody saw it. And normies, look, I would understand if normies or why normies say, oh, well, Kamala Harris won. I mean, it was 3-1. They fact-checked her on nothing, which I'm going to go over right now. And yeah, I think Trump could have done better. They pushed the right buttons on him about his, you know, he's so sensitive about his debate or his rallies. He got a little unhinged at times. Kamala's already asking for another debate. I think Trump should do it. I think
it's actually kind of funny that there's like not only so much copium, but that there is an actual recognition by every single right wing pundit that we've looked at so far in that Trump really easily got baited into that. You know, like even the right wingers like, oh, shit, he took the bait. Yeah, because, again, she wasn't like, you know, Trump is weak on immigration. And that should provoke you into being like, you want to talk about immigrants? So let me talk to you about Haitian people eating cats and dog. It was, I invite you to go to his rallies. They're boring. People leave early. His crowd sizes are very small. And that was enough. That alone was like, the Kamala HQ team must have been behind the scenes like. Because like, oh yeah, I too would be like, yep, oh no, he's going for it. And he is just digging in deep and he looks utterly ridiculous right now. Just again, he's got one setting, just reverted to old racist brain, you know?
The fact that she's asking for another debate means that they believe they're still wrong. Let's just look at some of the absurd bias that was going on. By the way, until the end of the...
Nah, thanks.
Do you guys still need me here? We're calm.
The absurd bias. Allow me to show you cartoons. Cartoons are definitely going to prove my point. Right-wingers. We played this clip just to laugh at it already. And again, all of these things that they're saying were not debunked in the fact-checking they're trying to bring up. You can fact check the fact checking. Trump did say there were fine people on both sides. I played the clip for all of you. Like, are you trying to say that maybe he said a different word or he messed up a word or something?
From the FBI to quote fact check Donald Trump's statistics, painting falsely optimistic picture of public safety while real Americans continue to suffer from rising crime.
Oh, so this is on the crime statistics. So yeah, at that part in the debate, I was like, I don't know if she's going to do the right thing, which is to actually bring up the fact that violent crime is down overall, according to FBI statistics. And then she did. I was surprised at that. And that's an important thing to bring up because Trump's one line is consistently like, there's chaos. The streets are running with Haitian gang members and Venezuelan gang members. They're breaking into houses. They're eating animals. They're, you know, brutal savages and we have to stop them. And she's got an open border policy. And Joe Biden has literally let a billion immigrants, illegal immigrants run into the country. They're taking over. They're destroying everything. So you can just bring up like these are just falsifiable lies. If you look at the actual FBI statistics. But then the answer to that is that while the FBI has changed the way that they actually look at crime statistics, so crime is actually skyrocketing. It's out of control, and the FBI is just not capturing it properly. Yeah, that's why.
Again, they're not doing any... Can you explain that? One big miss that Donald Trump had, I think, is when she came against Trump, they just let it slide. Here's more proof that the ABC moderators were the furthest thing from moderators. Kamala Harris repeated the exact same lie.
Kamala Harris repeated the same lie that Trump called neo-Nazis and white supremacists very fine people. He did. He had reporters who were talking to him in that press conference specifically mentioning what was happening, saying that when you say both sides, because he kept mentioning how there was extremists on the left, kept talking about extremist Antifa. No one ever talks about the extremists on the left, the leftist extremists. Why don't they bring that up? And the reporters were trying to focus and be like, this is very distinctly a situation where there was a whole bunch of neo-Nazis who arrived with tiki torches. They were organized. Richard Spencer was amongst them. They were chanting things like blood and soil. Jews will not replace us. I don't know how much more clear they need to be about what they're all about, but that was one side. And so to say that there was very fine people on both sides is a profoundly fucked up thing to say when one of those sides is Nazis. Nazis calling for the extermination of the Jews. Nazis calling for, like, you know, the superiority of the white race, the blood and soil chant, you know, like all of that shit. They made their messaging very clear. The other side were against fascism, anti-fascists. That's the other side. I would say that those are fine people, people who oppose fascism, people who oppose Nazism, that kind of stuff. But to keep saying, like, he didn't literally say that white supremacist neo-Nazis are very fine people. That's just not true. That's not what he said. And it's like, okay, well, let's look at the context. And then, yes, he is implying in this context that there were fine people on both sides. There were not fine people on both sides. One side was Nazis.
that Trump called the.
Yeah, Heather Heyer was killed by a Nazi extremist. Those were not fine people.
Very fine people. We talked about that. Watch Tulsi Gabbard fact check Harris's pathetic lies. She tried to say he supported a federal abortion ban. Level out. But the level of absurdity and bias in last night's debate is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for ABC. If Trump wins the election, he should absolutely, absolutely, unequivocally bar them from being them. You know, I mean, like saying, you know, why don't you leave the debate and go wake up the president? Not checking them. You know, again, all of these, it is so insane. I'm going to have lots of coverages on this today. I know I'm sure that it's boring. This was so.
Your coverage is often and always boring. So that is true. This is the only factual statement you've made so far. So I agree. But yeah, the copium's been great. Again, if you're a liberal, I'm sure you're celebrating today because that was a decided victory for Kamala Harris. As someone who doesn't want to see Donald Trump get elected and then, you know, turn the United States into a full fascist dictatorship, I would like to see him get defeated. It's obviously very good to have elements of that. She does not represent me. As a leftist, if I was an American, again, I would be like, you're picking your enemy, but goddamn, is there a lot of work to do into the future in terms of consistently protesting and doing direct action and doing letter writing campaigns and everything to try and get the United States to stop supporting Israel and their genocidal death machine. That is something that's going to continue no matter who of the two candidates becomes the president of the United States. But it is very nice to see Donald Trump get exposed for the old racist, misogynist, and woman-controlling asshole that he is. And that's, that's a good thing. And then, yeah, it'd be very nice if he also doesn't win so he can go to jail. That would also be fucking awesome if he spent some time in prison for his many, many crimes.
Hey, if you'd like to unlock secret bonus episodes as well as uncensored content, go to patreon.com/theserfs. This show is produced by Anna Loves Riley, Arian McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Comrade Junkie, Doug Caddy, Everything Important, Hagbard Saleem, Jimmy Sombrero, Multimondi, Omni, Political Puppy, Preston Kroll, Quiet185, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Cernicus, Stellar Gwyn, Sebastian Demel, Travis McClinton, Trinsel, Words Greenwood, with additional support coming from all of these amazing human beings right here.